Father, I thank you, Lord. Together with my brethren, we come before you to honor your name. Say, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Today, Lord, as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Cause that light to shine into our hearts and our lives. And let your name be glorified as we examine this vital topic today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So I want to talk on the subject of the tongue. That's right. It's be an unruly, evil, and deadly poison, or it can be a tree of life. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Probably we do this lesson in two parts at least. Because it's a very profound subject. And I want you to stay with me as we go through this. Praise the Lord. I'm sure the Lord will reveal something to you. Even though you've heard this before or knew this, the Lord will bring something into your heart. Praise the Lord. There are many scriptures that deal with this subject. We're going to be looking at the book of James, the book of Matthew, the book of Proverbs, so many places that we're going to be looking at. And also, some of the gospels. We're going to be looking at that as well. Even the book of Psalms and all of that. See what, some of the epistles, see what the scriptures, have to say about this subject. We're going to start here. A very good place to start on this subject is the book of James. The book of James, chapter 3. We're going to start there. This is a subject that we should visit from time to time. You may have thought about this before. You may have heard it preached. But it's a good subject to visit. And you'll see why in a bit when we go through this. James explains it very clearly here, the effect that this tongue can have and why it is so difficult, and why is it so difficult to tame that tongue. And so let's look at it the way that James presents this subject. A great portion of James chapter 3 is devoted to this subject. Let us start, in chapter 3. We're just going to read from verse 1, but particularly from verse 2 on to about verse 12 deals with this subject. My brethren, be not many of you masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. See? In many things. Because we're not perfect, there's people make mistake and do this and offend and so forth. And if any man, he starts right away, he's going to give a summary at the beginning of what he wants to say and then break it down. First of all, he'll say it right off the bat and then break it down. Well, the summary is this. If any man will not offend in word, the same will be a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. So, that's the summary. If you can keep your tongue in check, you'll be a perfect man. And you'll be able to put the whole body in check as well. So, that's the summary of the lesson. However, when you break it down, what is it saying? Well, you said we put bits in horses' mouths, so that they will not, so that they may obey us. And with that, you know how they have the bits and bridle on the horses and they pull the horse this way and pull the horse that way. Well, with that, we can turn the whole body of the horse one way or another. Even great ships in the sea, he said, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven with, fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small hand. I mean, it's a little, wheel that is used to move that whole big ship around. I've also seen that even an aircraft as big as they are, you know, some of them are really huge. When you start talking about those 747s, when they are parked at the gate at the airport, they don't really have, you know, the reverse in that state. You know, that's used to stop the speed of the aircraft when it's landing, and you know, but when they are, you know, stationary like that, they use a little cart, you know, to push that huge giant thing backwards. I mean, so we can see that a lot of things can be controlled with a very small thing. That's what he's saying here. And, you know, the captain of the ship or whatever, just a little thing that he turns here and there that determines where the ship is going to go. Well, he said, even so, the tongue, it's a little member, but it boasted great things. Oh, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And some of you have seen those brush fires. I mean, we see them here in Arizona sometimes when weather is very dry, like in the summer and so forth. There's warnings everywhere, and people ought to be careful. Some people will just carelessly throw a cigarette butt into the woods, and you know, it can create a massive fire. You know, all kinds of little things like that. A small fire when the woods are dry like that, it can happen and go along for days. In fact, we've seen some massive fires in California and some other places. We don't know what caused those things, but once it gets started, it can start with a little thing. Once it gets started, it's, you know, it can take weeks to put it out. And that's what he's saying here. He said, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. You know, that's right. So is the tongue among our members. It can defile the whole body and set on fire the curse of nature. It is set on the fire of hell. That's the tongue. And so we need to pay attention to this lesson. You know, he said the tongue, it's a world of iniquity. You know, it can defile the whole body. It can set the whole thing on fire, even the fire of hell. Every kind of beast, he said, and of birds and serpents and things in the sea has been tamed. You know, they've been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Wow. When people have trained dangerous animals and subdued them. You know, take animals from the wild, train them to behave, and trained all kinds of things. Even snakes, you know, are trained. You know, a snake is a very deadly thing, a viper. And some of them have been trained. You can listen to some music and behave and so on. You know, a lot of things have been trained. But this tongue, he says, no man can tame. It's an unruly evil and a deadly poison. And with it, we bless God, even the Father. And with it, we curse men who are made after the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine bear fig trees? So can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh? But why is it that the tongue is a mixture like this? You know, we use the tongue. In other tongues is what it is, and why that's usually the first thing that Holy Spirit brings when it comes into somebody like that. You know, this tongue, any which way you look at it, it's a deadly, and can be very, very deadly, you know. And there is not I guarantee you, there's not a single person in this room, myself included, or anyone listening in, you know, that this tongue has not run away from you at one time or the other. You know, sometimes we just say something angrily because of this tongue, you know. So this is a very sobering subject that we need to consider. Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 to 35, he said, look, we're dealing with a subject, but he brought something out here, which is very pertinent to this lesson. He said, look, you know, a tree will be known by its fruit, right? Either you make the tree good or its fruit, or you make the tree corrupt and its fruit will be corrupt also. You know, then he asked them, he said, you generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, so a good man out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. So he said, therefore I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, shall give account of in the day of judgment. For by thy words, see, you'll be justified. And by thy words, thou shalt be condemned. Our words can even condemn us. Now, this is a serious subject, folks. And Jesus is telling us that others is an indication of what's in your heart. Because lesson. Yeah. That's what's in your heart. When you speak words that hurt, well, that's what's in your heart. And Jesus is saying it. He said, look, your words can bring you into a place of blessing. Your words can also bring you into a place of condemnation. Because, you know, be very careful of how you use this tongue. You know, there was a place also in Matthew chapter 15 where Jesus was dealing with another subject. And similar to this, he was saying something there. They were talking about, oh, you know, people don't wash their hands when they eat, you know, and all this stuff. You know, I accused these disciples, you know, and he said some other things too, you know, there. He said, look, what goes into the mouth, it's not the thing that defiles the man, but what comes out of his mouth, that's what defiles the man. Hear and understand, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 10. Hear and understand. Not that which goes into the mouth defileth the man, but that which comes out of his mouth, that defileth the man. That means, what is it that comes out of the mouth? The words that we speak with our tongue. Jesus is saying that that can defile a person. Not whether you eat with unwashing hands or not. Well, that can make you sick. You know, if you don't wash your hands, you know, hygiene and all of that, you can be sick from it. I mean, little children especially, they get sick, you know, contaminated with, you know, things and so forth. You put all kinds of things in their mouth. They get sick very easily. Yeah, well, that doesn't actually defile them. It's just make them sick. But Jesus is saying, your spirit being, your soul, and all these things will be defiled by even what comes out of your mouth. And that's a strange way of looking at this. You would have thought that what you put in is what defiles you. Jesus says, no, it's what comes out. It's what defiles you. Well, as we can see, words are the things that come out of our mouth. And Jesus is saying, well, that can defile a person. So Jesus said a few other things too. And then disciples came to him later and he explained it. He said, look, Do you not yet have understanding? And whatsoever entered in at the mouth goes into the belly and it cast out into the draught. You know, those things are perishable things. You eat. If you don't eat right, it may hurt your body, but it does not defile your soul. Neither does it defile your spirit. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. That's what Jesus is saying here in Matthew, chapter 15 and verse 18. And then in verse 19, he says, for out of the heart proceeded evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And if there be any other evil thing, Jesus is saying that these things come from the heart. And that's where, you know, when the mouth speaks something, like pulling it out of the heart. And I said, these are the things that defile a man. But, you know, you eat with unwashing hands or whatever, that doesn't defile you. It'll make you sick, but it's not going to defile you. And he said, look, take heed, you know, with these things. There are many things, many warnings that Jesus gives in the Bible about how we use our words. You know, in another place, he was saying, look, be careful, you know, what you say to your brother or your sister, you know, how you, you know, rail on them and so forth. You know, he said, look, in the book of Matthew chapter 5, when he was preaching on the, in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, be careful, you know, how you just use words, you know, to abuse people. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, Jesus was speaking, you know, about many things in that Sermon on the Mount. And one of the things he spoke about, now there's a lot of subjects that he spoke about on that Sermon on the Mount, about three chapters long, spoke about a lot of things. But he said also in this place, very, very powerful stuff, you know. He said, look, you have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. And Jesus talking about killing. You know, killing. Everybody knows what killing is. Take a life. Kill. We kill with weapons and different things. But Jesus is saying that, look, there are other ways. With this, your mouth. You gotta be careful. You know, he's likening this, you know, mouth and anger and so forth to the killing and murder. He said, look, I say unto you, whosoever is angry at his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And if you say to your brother, raka, or fool, or call him, you know, whatever words we use in the culture that you are in, you know, call people a fool, or stupid, or this and that, or brainless, or what have you, or moron, or whatever. You know, all those things that we use the words to call people. And we're really angry. You call them an idiot, call them this, call them that. Jesus said, when you say that, you will be in danger of hellfire. Hellfire. For somebody that say, I'm a believer. Wow. So that's how serious this subject is. And we need to take it seriously, and don't just brush it aside and say, well, you know, I've heard that before. Well, maybe you have, but examine yourself and see whether you be in the faith. Every idle word, Jesus said, shall be judged. Every idle word, whatever we have that's going on, you know, and you be careful how you use your words in the situation. The devil always takes advantage of, you know, what's going on, the temperature at the moment. Temperature means, you know, something gets heated, you know, arguments starts to ensue between brother and sister, husband and wife, parent, child, you know, you and your friends, and so on and so forth. The devil. words and be so powerful. You can use words to stir things up, or you can use words to try to pacify the situation. In Proverbs 15 and verse 1. Turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. I mean, so these grievous words, you know, come out from the heart. Listen to this. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pour out foolishness. We're going to be talking about, you know, what the tongue can bring. In part two of this lesson, I want to focus more on pleasant words and wholesome words and different things like that. It says right here, you know, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, listening to what you say out of your mouth. A wholesome tongue can be a tree of life. I'm going to talk about that, you know, and perverseness in the tongue is a breach in the spirit. I mean, look, when we allow our tongues to be perverse and to carry deadly poison, you know, it can be very dangerous. Not just to the person that's hearing it, but even to us. The venom, if we allow our words to carry venom, and, you know, some people, you know, vitriolic expressions, just say things anyhow. You know, it's a breach in your own spirit too. It's what this scripture is saying. But we'll see all the things that the Bible cautions us about with these, you know, these words and the tongue and so forth. This book of Proverbs chapter 15, it's a powerful, powerful thing. Say the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, you know, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. And out of his heart will come forth foolish words. But Jesus said, you know, these things come out from the heart and so on. You know, let's look at, you know, a few other things that, you know, we see in the scriptures concerning this tongue, you know, how it can go down and pierce even the soul. It's a very, very dangerous thing. Before we do that, I want to read Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 3. It talks about, you know, make sure you guard, you know, that tongue. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. See? Life. And being that tongue. You know, another scripture which I'll read to you in a minute talks about, you know, the power that's in the tongue. If you keep your mouth, you keep your life. But when you open your mouth wide, you know, he said that person will have destruction. The person that opening their mouth wide, someone that, you know, you might say shoots from the hip. They just speak without thinking. And when those words come out, it's very, very difficult to retract those words. Even if you later say, I'm sorry. There's already a wound that is there from those grievous words. Grievous words. I can leave that wound there. So we got to be very careful. There is power, you know, in this word. Power to bring life. You know, power to also cause serious harm. It can be all wrapped up inside this tongue. You know, one scripture says the power of life and death. The tongue, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. There's a lot of warning in that verse. Many of us use that verse when we are talking about decreeing things. You know, make sure you speak good things because what you say has effect on the outcome of things around you. We use this scripture in Proverbs 18:20, and they say, look, make sure you only declare positive things. Well, yeah, that is true, but that scripture goes beyond that. It also has a bearing on this subject that we are talking about today. You know, this subject, you know, look, let me read to you a couple of things that he says here. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Offenses most of the time come from words, you know. And then he talked about, you know, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Your mouth, it can bring you good and bring you evil. And can create contention, can create strife. We'll talk about, you know, gossip and all these things in a minute. And, you know, he said, you know, with the increase of your lips, you know, good things can come to your life. Death and life and the power of the tongue. You can use your tongue to be a tree of life. You can also use it to be deadly poison. You know, can carry venom. You know, these vipers are coiled up waiting to strike. In their strikes, deadly venom. Well, that's just like the tongue, is what the scripture is saying. Tongue can be just as dangerous as those things. You know, so we got to be very careful. I'm going to read to you some other portions of these Proverbs 18 so that we can see, you know, all the things that he has to say here, you know, starting from verse 4. The words of a man's mouth, man, woman, whatever, man here is not a gender thing, are as deep waters, you know. And sometimes if you know how to bring it forth, it can be the wellspring of wisdom. But if you don't know how to bring it forth, it can also be dangerous. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for strokes. A fool's mouth, that's his tongue. You know, the part of the mouth that is dangerous is the tongue. I mean, you can use the mouth for good things like eating and so forth, but the tongue is the dangerous part of it. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Now, listen to this. The words of a talebearer, that's gossip, are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Wow. You know. Of it. Said it can be like wounds. We got to be very careful. They go down to the innermost parts of the belly. You know, so these are lessons, you know, that we ought to be careful about. The lessons of how to use our tongue. You know, and let's break it down and be a little more practical in our the minister asked them a question, you know, ask this one, ask that one. They have to use their mouth to say something. So, well, do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband, to love and to hold, to do this and do that, and say all these things? I say, yes, I do. And you got to say it. You know, the mouth is used for that. The mouth is used for, you know, salvation as well. In the book of Romans chapter 10, we are told that these are mouth. Is very powerful. It works in conjunction with the heart, you know. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. You know, so we see that even this mouth, can be so powerful for salvation. And this mouth must be also used in witnessing to others about Christ. You know, we are used this mouth. We use this mouth to pray. We use this mouth to give instruction to our children. We use this mouth to even salute people. Hey, good morning. How you doing? Yeah, we use the mouth. And, you know, there's a lot of good things that we can use this mouth for. We can also use the mouth. Like that. Well, the Holy Spirit also uses the mouth. You know, sometimes he gives that what we call speaking in unknown tongues. Why? Well, I'll tell you why in a minute. I want to read a story to you out of the book of Isaiah chapter 6. Now, Isaiah was a man who we know turned out to be a mighty prophet. Prophesied many things, many things, especially about Christ and so on, and the relationship of God and the Jews and all of that. In Isaiah chapter 6, he had an experience and he was talking about it. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one of them had six wings. With two of the wings he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one of them cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Even these cherubims or seraphims or whatever, even they themselves are using their mouth to say something. The whole earth is full of the glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. Voice is very important, even in praising the Lord and declaring the good things of God. You use your voice. The house was also filled with smoke. Then said I, this was Isaiah, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips." And those lips, that's the tongue in there, you know, house behind those lips. Holy Ghost branding of that tongue. That's what happens when we receive Holy Spirit and people say we are speaking tongues. Let's see what happens here. So this man, he was right there because he had seen the glory of God in his own self. He felt even more worthless. You know, I've given the example before of how, you know, the glory of God exposes either the evil and, you know, the, you know, weaknesses and the problems in our life. The glory of God will do that, but not for condemnation, but to fix it. You know, so, you know, I've given this illustration many times and we see it here because Arizona is always a sunny place. And when the sun is out and you pull back the curtains and you see the sun rays come inside the room, you see all the dirt and the dust flying around. You don't see it until you pull back the curtains. You don't see that all those dust flying around. You know, but, you know, when you pull back the curtains and you see the rays of the sun shining through, then it's like all of a sudden, see all the dust flying around. The dust was there the whole time. It wasn't the rays of the sun that created the dust. It was just the rays of the sun that exposed the dust. This is what the glory of God will do. So this man, when he came in contact with the glory of God, it exposed his own, you know, problems and his own, he just felt worthless. But the glory of God will not condemn you. You will feel that you don't measure up, but the Lord will fix it. So what he immediately thought of in himself, because, you know, he knew he was commissioned to carry a message. What he even immediately thought about is, I can't, my mouth, you know, I mean, I'm a man of unclean lips. How can I stand in the presence of the glory of God and carry his glory and declare his glory? And God was going to fix that. How did the Lord fix it? Well, one of the seraphims took, you know, a live coal of fire, as if he had taken it from the tongues of the altar, and the lady upon my mouth. That's right. You know how the cattle ranchers brand their cattle with hot iron, and they brand it so that nobody can steal that cattle? Well, Holy Ghost branded our tongues, you know, so that we also carry the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man, he had his tongue branded. He said, "Touch my lips." And he said, "This has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken, and thy sin is purged." Well, why was it his lips? Why wasn't it his head, or his eyes, or his heart, or his legs, or his hands? Well, first of all, you know, that was the area he presented to the Lord for, you know, help. When you present whatever, you know, so even the Bible says you can present your entire body as a living sacrifice. Well, you present your body and ask the Lord for help, he'll fix it for you. This man presented his lips, said, "My lips are corrupt. You know, I'm a man of unclean and corrupt lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean and corrupt." He knew how people were swearing and carrying on and doing all those things and so forth. And he said, "Look, I need help." And he knew he was struggling with his own mouth as well. So he needed help, and the Lord helped him. So today, if you yield that thing to the Lord, he will help you. You know, that's just like he helped Isaiah here. And once the, you know, fire of the altar touched and branded his tongue, he was told, "Your iniquity is taken away." All he needed was that tongue. You know, if you're perfect in that tongue, you'll be a perfect man. Whosoever does not offend in the word, you'll be good. You're good to go. And so that brings us, you know, let's go, you know, fast forward to this day. We see, you know, experience the Holy Spirit. The first time we would see the, you know, impact like that in Acts chapter 2. Jesus had told his disciples, "But tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued power from on high, until you receive the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me." And so as they tarried, they waited. And on the day of Pentecost, when that day was fully come, the Bible says they were all with one accord, sitting in one place, in one so-called upper room, or somewhere. And then when the Holy Ghost came, they saw the cloven tongues of fire split like that and come upon each of them. And they began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit of God gave them entrance. Well, that was the first visible experience that people saw of this coming of the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues. You know, and why was it that the tongue was the one, the first thing that the Holy Spirit would take over? Because of this thing that we are reading in James chapter 3. That tongue, nobody can tame it except that Holy Spirit. Can't do it. You know, so that's why, you know, you ought to speak with tongues even more in prayer and different things. Let the Holy Spirit have control of that tongue. You know, a person that is speaking with tongues more in prayer, you know, and spend that. The wrong thing. You say, "Well, can I pray all the time?" Well, yeah, you can speak in tongues a lot. Even, you know, no matter what you're doing, you just silently be speaking. You know, and Holy Spirit will use that to help cleanse our hearts, because it's the gateways, you know, the connection, the heart, the tongue, everything. It connects to our right standing with God. Your tongue is full of poison. Poison the person that you're speaking to, it'll poison you as well, because that poison is coming from the heart. So when we hear ourselves speaking evil things, well, we got to check our hearts. You know, if you speak words that aggravate, words that bring hurt, rather than words of affirmation, Well, then that's what's in the heart, the Bible says. So Holy Spirit brings a branding. The Holy Ghost fire comes upon that mouth, just like it did for Isaiah. And, you know, the Lord can help you with, you know, that mouth like that, you know. So, and why must we, you know, why must we do that? In the society that we are in today, you know, there's a lot of tail-bearing. There's a lot of sowing discord among brethren and different things. You know, we got to clean that up. You know, I'm going to tell you, you know, how to tame that tongue in a bit. But let's clean it up. There are a few more scriptures here in Proverbs 17 and 9. Let me read that to you. You know, the effect of these words, the effect of speaking things that are not wholesome and things that are not even verified, you know, that people speak. That's what tail-bearing is. Not verified, but you speak it anyway. You know, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter and separate very friends, you know, and the devil will take advantage of that. You go repeat something that you should have used discretion to keep your mouth shut. It can bring a separation even among very close friends. It's what this scripture is saying, you know, and so we got to be careful. There are many things that the scriptures call out about our relationships with one another, but, you know, the scripture also tells us that there are some things that God hates, and this tongue is one of them. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue. So see, the tongue is right there. Hands that shed innocent blood. Feet that are swift to run into mischief. A false witness. That's wicked lies. That's the tongue as well. The tongue is playing into many of these things. And he that soweth discord among brethren. That's also tongue. Out of these seven things that are listed here. In discord, use the mouth. I mean, the mouth and the tongue is involved in many of these vices which the Lord hates, you know. And the Lord, he warned the children of Israel even from the beginning. He warned them, you stay away from this stuff. Don't be a false witness. Don't do these things. Don't go up and down as a tail bearer among your brethren. You know, and so forth. Leviticus chapter 19, in verse 16, it said, thou shalt not go up and down as a tail-bearer among thy people. Don't do it now. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. Don't bear false witness to bring that man to his death. Because they said, don't do it. You know, be careful. And then he says also in verse 17, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. You know, it's better for you to rebuke him, you know, open rebuke, sometimes even better than secret love. You know, thou shalt in any wise rebuke your brother, you know, and not suffer sin upon him. If he does something wrong, sure, absolutely. But don't hate them in their heart. We're dealing with some of this even yesterday, how to extend grace. You know, don't harbor that hatred in your heart against your brother. You know, that's not, you know, and you know, the thing is that when we have all these instructions from the scriptures and yet we're not doing them the right way, you know, we are grieving the spirit. And we're going to have to answer for that because these things are in the scriptures. And, you know, but the Lord has given us instructions. Keep the statutes of the Lord. One of these statutes is keep your mouth and keep your tongue and so forth. And if you find it difficult to do that, well, we're going to pray and the Holy Spirit will help us. You know, there is a flip side of this lesson, and I want to talk about that as well, but maybe more so. I will speak more tomorrow about how the tongue can be a tree of life. It can be pleasant words. You know, how the tongue can bring encouragement and be a lifter upper, you know, and so forth. Speak too much. In fact, put your hand on your mouth. Because in the, you know, multitude of words, you know, yeah, lacketh not sin. You speak too much, there's going to be a problem in there. Speak fewer words. In fact, think about it before you say it. So let's read Proverbs 10, starting from verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The less you speak, the greater the chances that you will avoid offense. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. You know, this will be as part of part two of this lesson. You know, there's a good part two. The lips of the righteous can feed many, you know. It can be a source of encouragement and different things like that, you know, but we got to be careful. James chapter 1. I mean, this James, you can think of it as the book of Proverbs in the New Testament. Because this James deals with, you know, some of the similar things and so forth that are in the book of Proverbs. In James chapter 1 verse 19, he says, look, be slow to speak. You know, slow to speak because these words that we speak, once spoken, cannot be easily withdrawn. Even you say, well, I didn't mean that. Well, of course you did. You said it. So, you know, that's why you got to think about it before you say it. And if it is not going to be wholesome and it's not going to be a blessing, if it's going to stir up strife, well, don't say it. But it's very hard. You know, we let our emotions overtake us and you just say it anyway. You know, whereas the Bible cautions us to be careful, you know, how we speak. You words of your mouth, Proverbs chapter 6 verse 2. We use the scripture also, when we're talking about, you know, declaring good things and don't speak negative things and so forth. Well, you know, it's not just about that. It's also about this topic that we're dealing with today. You know, the words that, you know, grievous word that you say to somebody else, say to your spouse or to your friend or whatever, or to an associate, they become a snare unto you if it is not wholesome, what you just said. Because the devil will take it and use it against you. That person will remember those words. Even when you say, I'm sorry. You know, remember those words. You know, so, you know, sometimes a wound can be healed, but sometimes it will leave a scar. It's not every wound that is healed that is completely erased without a scar. Some wounds will leave a scar, even Jesus. The wounds in his hands and feet, well, leave a scar for a reason. So that later on he will show it to the house of Israel. Say, well, where did you receive those scars? Say, well, the house of my friends. He said, oh, you were that one that was crucified? Yes, I was. You know, he could have erased those scars, but he left it there for a reason. You know, even when he's visiting. That, you know, the scars were there. So some wounds, even though they are healed, they leave scars. Paul even one time said, look, I bear in my body the scars that I've taken for Christ, so let nobody bug me anymore. You know, so these scars will be a reminder. That's why we have to be very careful. And you speak those grievous things, even when you say you're sorry and be erased and all of that, you know, some of the scars might still be there. You know, so we got to be very, very careful. With these words also, you know, we can use these words to be a blessing and use our words, our mouth. We can speak good things, words of affirmation and so forth. We're going to talk more about that, you know, in part two of this lesson. You know, but how your words can be like a honeycomb, how your words can be pleasant, how your words can be seasoned with salt, you know, how your words can be chosen to bring positive things, you know, and what the scripture talks about, you know, a word that is fitly spoken and so forth, you know, we're going to talk about that. But I want to let this first part be on this, the negative part of this. You know, let no corrupt communication, the scripture says in Ephesians 4 and 29, let no corrupting come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that can minister grace to the hearers. You know, so very, very, you know, powerful stuff. Now, Proverbs 18, if you want to read the whole chapter, you should. You might take it as a piece of homework today. Read that chapter. Read also the chapter 3 of James again. It talks about many things with the tongue. I just read a few verses, many of them. Here's another one in verse 13. You know, Proverbs 18. He said, look, it is folly and shameful for you to answer a matter before you even hear it. When we rush to judgment, it is with our mouth. You know, somebody says something, you haven't even heard the bottom of it, you pass judgment already. You say, well, it's a shameful thing, you know. Take your time, listen to it, and so forth. And, you know, figure out, you know, what you are going to say before you say it. You know, there's a prayer that the psalmist prayed, right? And ask the Lord to help him get a hold of himself and get a hold of, you know, this mouth. He said it in Psalm 141. He says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth and keep the door of my lips. Psalm 141 and verse 3. Help me, Lord, to set a door. Now, the way we should pray that prayer, it's not the Lord that's going to do it. If you are not willing, it's Lord, help me willing to submit myself to you helping me to set a watch on my mouth. You know, I've got to do it. You know, there's a collaboration effort here. It's not that the Lord's just going to take over your mouth without you being willing. No. Keep the doors of my lips. You know, incline, let my heart not be inclined to any evil thing, so that I will not practice wicked works of men, walk iniquity, and so forth like that. You know, so this was a good, good prayer, you know, that he prayed. And, you know, the Lord rewards the, you know, people that are blessings. When there is no God, I say, well, how did you know me? Doing well, I saw you, and so forth. And even at the, you know, there is a revelation, there's a vision that the Lord gave John in Revelation chapter 14. He saw a group that was with the Lord. And in verse 5, he said, and in their mouth was found no guile. You know, you want to be among those first fruits? He said, these are called first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. In their mouth was found no guile. Well, that's a quality. You want to see the quality of those people in Revelation chapter 14 who went with the Lord everywhere they went? Well, one of the qualities is in their mouth, there was no guile. You know, there was no evil speaking of any kind in their mouth. It's going to take the Holy Spirit. And that's a tall order. Who can do that? Well, we can't. Because scripture already says you can't tame that tongue. If you try to do it, you cannot do it. But with God, there shall nothing be impossible. Now, that's the answer. That's the answer for anything that we're trying to overcome, that we're having difficulty overcoming. With God, there shall nothing be impossible. That which you cannot do, God can do. The tongue can be a deadly poison, an unruly evil. Unruly means it can't be controlled. You know, it's out of check. You can't put him in check. It just completely runs wild. Well, believers that claim to have the Holy Spirit must not be said of us that our tongue is an unruly evil. It's a deadly poison. Why should your tongue be a deadly poison? Maybe it was before you turned your heart over to the Lord. But after you turn your heart over to the Lord, you got to check your tongue every day. See what you speak. Most of the time when you come back and the Holy Spirit will remind you of some things you've done that isn't pleasing. Most of it are words. Most of the time it's words, something you said unadvisedly. You know, it was the tongue, you know, that, you know, caused Moses to miss the mark. You know, I mean, this great Moses and all the things and so forth was headed for the promised land, but it was his tongue that caused him to miss the mark. You know, because he was angry and spoke unadvisedly with his man, said, shall we bring water out of this rock for you? Who are you? It's God that's going to do it. He was angry and he spoke and called them a stiff-necked people and so forth. And he struck the rock, you know, again, that he shouldn't have. But it was his mouth. But this tongue got him eventually. See, this tongue will get you one way or another. So we got to be very, very careful. The devil was always coming through to Jesus to try to get him to say something so that they might entrap him. They would come to him and say, well, Moses said this, what do you say? But they're always trying to trap him by his words. You know, but Jesus, thank God, in him was composite wisdom of God. The thing that the devil is going to take advantage of is what you're going to say. What are you going to say? When you say something that is not wholesome, but you've done even more damage. Grievous words, you know, you put a dagger like that. And so we got to be careful, how we use our tongues. There are many scriptures that encourage us to speak wholesome words. We'll be dealing with that in part two, because that will also take almost a whole hour to do it. So I don't want to pile it up into 1 hour. I'll just break it up this way. But think about it, throughout the day. Think about it and ask the Holy Spirit for help. Say, well, I don't want to be classified as one with the, venomous words coming out of my mouth, and poison. No, I don't want to be like that. You know, I want to be someone that can bridle my tongue. James chapter 1 verse 26 also talks about that. He said, look, a man anybody that seems to be religious and so forth, but cannot bridle his own heart. He deceives, cannot bridle his own tongue, deceives himself. He can't bridle his tongue. James is saying here through the Holy Spirit that you're deceiving yourself. Get a hold of that tongue. If you can't do it, well, call upon the name of the Lord to help you. We got to do that. And we're going to pray here in a minute. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit is trying to correct us, we try to justify ourselves. When you're in a situation, you try to justify and say, well, you did this, the other person did that, and so forth. Here's what Jesus had to say about that. In the book of Luke, chapter 16 and verse 15, he said, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. Rather than trying to justify, I did it because they did that, or I said it because they said that. Well, that's you trying to justify yourself. Say, God knows your heart. No, there's no need. Just break down yourself before the Lord. Ask for God's grace. Try to justify yourself. Well, always we catch ourselves doing that all the time. When you're angry without a cause, you try to justify yourself. Well, the other person provoked me. Help me, Lord, to set a watch upon my mouth so that my heart will not devise evil things and I won't speak those things. That's his prayer. The psalmist prayed. I don't want my words to be deadly poison. I don't want my tongue to be a world of evil. I want my tongue, to be the tongue of the learned. Isaiah said, teach me. These are the things we're going to use in our prayer now. Teach me, let my tongue be the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word to him that is weary. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. Give me the tongue of the learned. Let me know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And so forth. The book of Colossians chapter 4 verse 6 talks about that. Let your words be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. Your words, let it be with grace. Like, not your words be grievous and so forth. Well, you will hear more about the good side of the tongue tomorrow, but I want us today to pray this prayer. Let's yield our hearts to the Lord and just pray that the Lord will help you. Let's examine ourselves and see. We're going to use also Psalm 24 to pray. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Or you might say, who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart and has not lifted his soul to vanity or sworn deceitfully, not just his mouth, has not let his mouth run away from him. Even he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, righteousness from the God of his salvation. So we're going to pray, Lord, help me with my tongue. I'm going to pray first and close the lesson. Then we're going to go into a time of prayers. So let me pray first. Father, Lord, help me, Lord, set a watch on my tongue and on my mouth and on my lips. That with my words, I may not bring wound or hurt to somebody, but they bring grace to the hearers. I pray, Lord, that we will learn to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit to help us in branding this tongue. This tongue can be a destroyer of families, of marriages, and different things. It can be a destroyer of friendships. It can separate between very friends. And it can separate between husband and wife. It can separate with parents and child and so forth. And siblings and this tongue. Many things that were spoken. You check yourself, you see that most of the time you go into an argument with somebody else was over something they said or you said. And, Lord, I pray that you help us, Lord. Father, Lord, cleanse us, Lord. cleanse our hearts, that our hearts be pure, that the hearts we transmit to our lips, you know, pleasant words, the preparations of the heart, and the answer of the tongue. Let it be from the Lord in our lives. Let it not be preparations of evil. Let it not be, you know, that our tongue will bring out evil from our hearts. But let the preparations of our heart be good things and pleasant things that will bring the effect of a tree of life to those that hear it. And Father, for all the words that we have spoken that are not wholesome, unadvisedly, and have caused grief and caused offense, pray, Lord, for forgiveness and help us to make amends, you know, and teach us, Lord, how to be slow to speak and weigh our words before we even say them. Father, we give you, Lord, praise, give you glory. In Jesus' name.